Good morning. Happy Sabbath. How are you today? Well, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, hi, I'm glad you're here today. It's morphing time. Boys and girls, in the worship activity cards, there are three words on there. What's the first word? Zone. Second word? Grow. And the third word? Boosh. Who said boosh? I like that. Boosh. You know, wasn't it kind of neat to see the young people up here leading out in worship? Children's story, and scripture reading, and prayer. That prayer was, I don't really know what she said most of the time. But you know, just the way she said it and the sincerity and the... I think I heard Jesus a couple of times and coming back again and we want to see you. It's about all I got out of that. But I just thought that was so neat. Amen? That was so worshipful for me to see all those kids up here praying, and it was just a nice time to see them. And do you believe in miracles? You know, I'll tell you, God's people, we need to believe in miracles. We just, God is waiting and willing and wanting to just do miracles in our midst. You know? And I think one of the greatest miracles that He wants to do is to change your life and to change my life. And that's amazing. Do you remember, boys and girls, do you remember the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? Do you remember them? Adults, you might not remember them, but the kids remember them. Because something neat happened. Every time a situation arose where special power outside of themselves had to come and transform them from ordinary, regular, young people to these Power Rangers that would work for truth and justice. Amen? And I just love that story because I think deep down inside each one of us, in your soul, in your being, you know that you have disappointed God. You live in an existence of disappointment. Am I right? But that is not the ultimate truth about you. You are what you are, but you're not yet what you're going to be. That's the real truth about you. And see, when you had the Power Rangers, they weren't what they are, that they became something more powerful than what they thought they could be. And they used that power for truth and justice and for good things, for upright things. The parallel kind of dies in a sense because Jesus comes into your life and my life. He wants to make you a brand new creature. Not living just for yourself, but living for Him. He wants to transform you. I need some help from the congregation today. I need some help. Would somebody, and I don't know, I didn't tell the deacons to get a roving mic going here, so I like to keep them on their heels and throw them a curve here. Is that okay? We got a microphone going. I like worship service to have it planned and everything, but I like a little spontaneity. Amen? Have you noticed that about me? I like that laugh. Somebody look up Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Someone else look up Galatians chapter 4. Let me get my notes, make sure I got the right verse. Verse 19. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. Amen. We're going to dive into God's Word today and we're going to get deep in God's Word today. We're going to get deep into it. Amen. So if you're bored by reading God's Scriptures, God's Word, I would help that you would change your mindset. Because if you have that mindset, you will not receive God's truth. You're not open to it. Your heart's closed off. So if you have a mindset, oh, God, reading God's Word, oh, blah, blah, how boring. Stop thinking that way. You need an attitude adjustment. It's morphing time. Hey, how about we have a little bit of fun? Is that okay? Is God up for fun? When it's holy, rich fun, amen? God's not a party pooper, I'm sorry. A lot of people think, you know, you got to be high on drugs and drink to have fun. You got to be real and sober and full of your faculties to have fun, amen? You don't want to kill your brain and put yourself to sleep to have fun. That's artificial and not real. Amen? Okay, so we've got Ephesians 2, verse 10, right? Galatians 4, 19. Someone look up Romans 8, 29. Romans 8, 29. And then finally, Romans 12, 2. And then after that, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. Okay, but no one has to read that. We'll read that all together. I'll read it from the New King James Version. It says, "For we are His workmanship." In other words, we're His work of art. It's not your work of art, it is His work of art. "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So God's got a plan, He's got a workmanship, and you're it. And I'm it. In the Vatican, there's a place. Oh yes, I forgot this slide. Oops, I messed up. I'm going to come back to this slide. In Vatican City, you know, there are buildings like this all over the place. I've never been there. I've only seen pictures of them. And I scanned one in and brought it to you today. There is a statue of the crucified Christ, the dying Christ. He's dead. He's there. He's crucified. He's come down off the cross. And there's a picture of Mary. This is one of the greatest works of art in all of history of mankind, especially in Western civilization. And listen, Michelangelo made that. Marble sculpture. Carved it. What a vision. What a mind. And he shaped that. And one day, somehow, some nationalist snuck in a sledgehammer and started to hit it and start to mar it. And by the time it was made known to what was going on, the guards got him and wrestled him down. He just marred it. I think part of the nose was chipped off and arm, and it was a terrible thing. And so the Vatican had to call in specialists to remake it. When we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that workmanship, that's exactly what it's talking about. But listen, not just remaking us into the original form that Michelangelo made on that marble. It's not like that. When Paul talks about the workmanship, he's saying you are brand new. Not to take what's old and make it better, but a new creation. A new creation altogether. And, you know, and we start to think, well, how can that happen with me? How can I do that? You got to let God do it. You got to cooperate with God to do it in you and for you. You can't do it on your own. But the workmanship of God is that idea of creating that marble sculpture Michelangelo did and forming it and making it perfect. That's what God wants to do with us. But sin has marred us. Like that nationalist went in and marred that statue. But it's not fixing you that He wants to make. He wants to make you a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you've been created for good works. To do good works. To do good things. To have power beyond yourself to do God's will and live His ways. Friends, what is the purpose of spiritual life? What is the purpose of being a Christian in spiritual life? To have joy. Nope. It's good though. You're going to have joy. To know what God wants you to do. To reflect Him. Ah, getting closer. Live a healthier life. The purpose or the number one goal of spiritual life is transformation. The number one goal, not the only one, but the number one is to reclaim humanity back and recreate God's image in us. That's what He wants to do. Oh, pretty interesting, huh? So the goal, the number one goal for you and me in spiritual life is to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And that is truly morphing. That is truly becoming a new person. And you can actually become like Christ, the Bible says. And what higher, nobler way to state your potential than to become more like Jesus? Can you think of one? I can't. That's the best anyone could ever put it. Like Christ. I can become more like Christ. You see, when morphing happens, when this transformation happens, when this new creation begins, it's not just the idea of doing the things that Jesus would have done. It's wanting to do those kinds of things. It's I'm interested in doing those kinds of things. It's I'm starting to become that kind of person. Am I right? The Bible puts it this way. I will put my laws in your heart. I will take out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will do this, God says. I will change your heart. I will do it. Because it is a heart thing. Is it not? So this transformation, this transforming power, this transforming idea is not mine. It's not mine. It's God's. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Who has that? Someone stands up. We have a microphone for you. Galatians 4:19. And then someone get ready for Romans 8:29. And then finally Romans 12:2.
Galatians 4:19. My dear children, for whom I am again in the path of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone.
Okay. That word formed in you. Notice Paul uses the idea of childbirth, formed in you. The word formed is a Greek word that's called morpho. Morpho. Yeah, that's the Greek word, morpho. And the idea is the gestation period of being developed in your mother's womb. See, the Bible's full of the idea of new creation, new birth, new beginnings, and second chances. Amen? And so Paul saying this, till Christ be formed in you. That is, you taking on His shape. Not physically. Amen? Spiritually. Amen? Okay. What's our next verse? Romans 8:29. Yes. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. See if you can pick out what word I'm going to focus in on. Ah, okay, very good. Very good. Excellent. Conformed. And notice Christ is in that verse again. Conformed like Christ. What the word conformed is means sammorphizo. Sammorphizo. It's a Greek word. I know I'm getting technical, but I'm going to simplify it. It just means kind of being created now in the same form. Now it becomes in the same, a copy of the likeness. A duplicate of the model. So there's the gestation period of being formed in your mother's womb, a new birth, Then there's becoming that form becoming a duplicate of the original form. Of course, in the form is Christ. Amen? And the third verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Who's got that? Okay. It's good to have congregational participation. It slows us down a little bit, but I think it's good stuff. Amen? I'm not in a rush, are you? I didn't have breakfast this morning, but I'm not hungry. Amen?
Amen.
I'm worshiping. Please.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Guess what word he uses there? Metamorpho. What English word do we get from metamorpho? Metamorphosis. That's the idea of a creepy, crawly caterpillar becoming a soaring butterfly. And not even knowing it. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we're doing. The renewing of our mind begins the process and continues the process of morphing. It's time to morph. Could you say, we shall morph indeed? I've always wanted to do that. When I say it's time to morph or it's morphing time, could you say, we shall morph indeed? Or do you feel kind of silly saying that? Come on now. It's morphing time. These guys did better than these guys. Maybe there's more of you over here. I don't know. Can we try that one more time? That was a little weak. It's time. It's morphing time.
We shall morph.
I see some of you have smirks on your faces. Maybe the kids are rolling their heads. Oh, man. Boys and girls, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. Let's take a look at the life of Moses. We don't have a lot of time. But I want to take a look at how God was in the process of transforming a leader. And I want to just touch on three things that Moses had to overcome to live in the faith zone and not in the safe zone. Let me say that again. In order for Moses to overcome, to live in the faith zone and not in the safe zone, he had to overcome some things. And I think that transforming power is contingent upon our choosing to be aware of these things and choosing to trust in God's leadership. Because it will always come down to trust, faith, that to live in the faith zone always takes faith. It takes a choice to choose to believe in God because you have to step out of the safe zone to live in the faith zone. How many times did I say zone so far? 20? I don't think 20. Get out of town. 20. Folks, it's all about faith, isn't it? I mean, really, when it comes down to, it boils down to so much just trusting in Christ. He knows better than you and me. Amen? And we need to step out of the safe zone and get into the faith zone. And that's what Moses had to do. And there were three things he had to overcome in order to do it. We're going to get right to that in a moment. Open your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 3. Begin with verse 3. Now, catch the picture. Okay? Catch the picture. Moses is in Midian, right? I don't know where Midian is today, but it's a desert place. A land of maybe just enough or not enough. I'm not sure which. But by the way, God wants us to live in a land of more than enough. Am I right? We often stay in this idea of I've got to have just enough in a land of just enough in a land of not enough. But God really wants us to live in the land of more than enough. If we just would allow Him to transform us. And I'm not talking about material things, brothers and sisters. Amen? Verse 3. So Moses, he sees this bush. Then Moses says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Think about it. Perhaps Moses had been by this place hundreds of times, leading his sheep to pasture. I don't know. Perhaps this is one time he sees something burning and he notices that it doesn't get burnt up. But the idea is, and it's all predicated on God accomplishing His will through Moses, is all predicated on this. His willingness to turn aside. His willingness to stop what he's doing and pay attention to what God wants to do for him and in him. He could have ignored it. God would have not jumped in his shoes and made him go over there. Moses said, hey, I see this fantastic thing. He could have just brushed it off. He could have just said, oh, I'm just seeing things. Or he could have just said, I need to see my shrink. I don't know. Well, you think about it. There's a lot of people who brush this miracle off. They brush this theophany of God's presence on earth in this burning bush. A theophany. That's what it's called. A theophany. But he doesn't ignore it. He doesn't say, I'm too busy for it. He goes to it. And the Bible in the New King James says, he turns aside. Boys and girls, moms and dads, are you willing to turn aside and listen to God and have an encounter with Him? If you are, then He will talk to you. Let's pick up the story again. And we've got a DVD, little clip that we want to cue up here to get ready. Because I want to show you this little clip, okay? Amen? Is that all right? I got a little DVD clip from the movie Cecil B. DeMille's Ten Commandments. Amen? How many of you saw that movie? All right. We're going to show a little clip of Moses the burning bush in just a minute. Just get that queued up if you would, Bob. Verse 4. Check this out. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of a bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. I probably didn't sound too much like God, did I? Moses, Moses. I wonder what that sounded like. Moses. Hey, got that ready to go? All right. Just one second. I remember in Roseburg Church, we had a balcony. And there was a guy up in the balcony. And I said, I wish I could hear God say this. And somebody just out of the clear blue sky, no rehearsal, he stands up and he says, Moses, Moses. Right in the middle of worship. It was so neat. It was a God spirit thing going on there. You know, it was kind of neat. Moses, Moses. That's what I think of when I see that. But you know what? It wasn't until he was willing to turn aside that God spoke to him. Folks, life is filled with common bushes, burning bushes, if we would see them in the light of God's perspective. Life's opportunities every day to be used by Him for that transforming power in our lives, if we are willing to turn aside and listen. It's predicated on that. If you're wondering why you lack power, if you're wondering why you lack victory, you need more turning aside. I need more turning aside. Where else are you going to get the power? Amen? You're not going to get the power anywhere else. And if you're not interested in turning aside, I hope God will change your mind about that. If you're apathetic about turning aside, what's God going to do? He'll try to change your mind, won't He? But He's not going to force you. Okay, let's view this clip of God's and Moses' encounter with each other. Maybe if we can hit those lights. I don't know. Is that bright enough? Can't hear it.
I am here.
Put on thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Lord, Lord, why do you not hear the cries of their children in the bondage of Egypt? I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their trespasses, for I know their sorrows. Therefore I will send thee, Moses, son of Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people out of Egypt.
Who am I, Lord, that you should send me? How can I lead this people out of bondage? What words can I speak that they will heed?
I will teach thee what thou wilt say. When thou hast brought forth the people, they shall serve me upon this mountain. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now therefore go, and I will be with you.
But if I say to your children that the God of their fathers has sent me, they will ask, what is his name? And how shall I answer them?
I am that I am. Thou shalt say, I am that sent me on.
That's what a powerful moment in time. And Moses' response to that theophany would impact perhaps hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. Immediate future, and then in maybe billions of people subsequently. Amen? All contingent upon Moses turning aside and encountering God at the bush. But what was Moses' response initially? Who am I? I can't do it. The first thing Moses had to overcome in order for God to use him for his purposes and to transform Moses into the leader he wanted him to be, Moses had to listen now. He had to overcome the failures of his past experiences. Right? If you know the story, you would know. If you don't know the story very well, let's review real quickly. What happened? Moses was in Egypt. Correct? Let's turn in our Bibles. Right? Before, Moses lived in Egypt. He grew up in Egypt. He was a ruler in Egypt. He was a man of influence and power in Egypt. Right? But Moses took his own, tried to change things his own way and stepped out in the risk zone, but not in the faith zone. Amen? Verse 11. Now it came to pass. I'm in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brothers. So he looked this way and that way. When he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And after, as a result of that, Pharaoh found out about it, and Pharaoh, he had to leave. Moses was kicked out of Egypt. Moses had a failing past. And I think this is what was rushing in his mind. Who am I then? I'm going to go to Egypt. I'm going to get your people out of bondage. Who am I? God, I have no clout anymore. That's a long time ago. Your timing is rather poor. He had to overcome his past experiences. And a lot of times you and I, we have to overcome where we have failed. We don't want to go back there. We don't want to do that again because, after all, we failed. Who likes failure? No one likes failure. But Moses had to overcome this past experience and say, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do. When it's something that's very clear that God wants you to do, just because you don't want to do it doesn't mean you shouldn't. Am I right? It's morphing time. We shall morph indeed. Yeah, right. Okay, we're a little slow on the uptake with that one. But that's all right. So Moses had to overcome that. And he the film doesn't really talk too much about it, but he goes on and says all kinds of excuses. You can read it. All kinds of excuses. And each one, God answers, and God would not take no for an answer. And he says, you're going. You're my man. The second thing Moses had to overcome, and we've got to move quickly. The second thing is, he had to overcome the comforts of the present life that he was that he had. Look at verse 21. Same chapter, 21. See, he's in Midian. He meets Jethro's daughter, Zipporah. And man, she is not bad looking. Amen? And, you know, he's got money, the whole family. And, well, Jethro gives Zipporah to Moses, and he gets married. And the Bible says, and Moses was content. You know? Because he had children and everything. He's content to live with the man. And he gave Zipporah his daughter to Moses, and she bore him a son. He called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a foreign land. But he's not a stranger anymore. He's become part of a new family, a new community. But God's saying, that's not the community I want you to be a part of. I want to start a new community of people. I want to start a new group, a new community of faith. And Moses, you're my man to lead them. Moses says, look at how I failed in the past. I've got to overcome the comforts of the present. Amen? And a lot of us have to overcome the comforts of the present, don't we? In order to get out and do something God wants us to do. Am I right? Absolutely. So, the third thing, and the final thing, Moses has to overcome the insecurity of the future. He says, God, who am I going to tell them told me to come? Who says that I should go and get these people out of... What are the people going to say? What am I going to tell them? God says, tell them that I am sent you. Listen, what God was basically telling Moses, he was saying, look at Moses, I know your inadequacies. I know your past failures. I know your whole life situation. Moses, I know who you are. And you are what you are. But the truth is, Moses, you're not yet what you're going to be because I'm going to be with you. Didn't Jesus say, I'll always be with you? Amen. Even unto the end of the world? So Moses, in summary, had to overcome his past experiences, the comforts of the present, and the insecurity of the future. And God predicated the insecurity of the future by answering all his things, even told him that the Pharaoh, that all those people were dead who were after him. Even says that in chapter 4. But Moses agrees and he goes. And he becomes the transformed leader that he wanted him to be. It took time. Moses made mistakes. But in spite of himself, God worked a mighty work through him. And I can't help but think that there are times in our lives where God wants to work a mighty work. If we would just say, yes, God, use me. I'm here. Amen? Are you willing? Well, I want to end with this. And I've got to go back. I did not forget. Nope. There we go. Have you seen this before? I know I'm way over time. I'm not making any apologies. I'm sorry. I did? Yeah. You know, I just love this. I just love this saying. And I just think that myself and the leadership of this church, when they put this together, they had a vision for this. And when God called Moses, God didn't want to examine who he was too much or talk about law and salvation and sanctification and justification. God was saying, I want to work for you, Moses. I'm going to do great things through you, Moses. And I'm going to begin talking about, I've talked about friends helping friends. Amen? I want to talk, that's the new community, community of faith. I want to talk more about becoming the kind of person that Christ wants us to be. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to be doing in subsequent messages in this church. I'm going to focus on that becoming, because that's morphing. It's time to morph, folks. Amen. And you know the great thing about it? God's got the plan. And all you're doing is cooperating with Him. Amen? And it's a good thing to morph. Because God doesn't want you to live in the land of just enough, or not in the land of not enough. He wants you to live in the land of more than enough. So let's get into the faith zone and out of the faith zone and out of the... Amen? It's morphing time. Very good. We're going to stand and sing our closing song, and then I'm going to pray with you. Father, thank you for being here. Thank you for the mighty story of your man that you called Moses. Thank you for his willingness to turn aside and experience you. And then you placed a challenge on his life, and you told him that you would be with him. Amen. Because you are the God of the past, the present, and the future. And we can trust in you. Sometimes, Lord, we don't know what the future holds. But we can count on this. You hold the future. Amen. Thank you for that. We praise your holy name. Help us, Lord. It truly is time to morph. It is truly morphing time. Let us let you do that. Help us to let you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake, amen.